Welcome to Power Play for Friday, January 6th. I'm Omar Sachedina. America's top envoy to Canada announces his resignation on Twitter. Bruce Hayman says he's leaving Ottawa on or around January 20th. Coming up, we'll talk about his possible replacements, as well as Donald Trump's edict that all of Barack Obama's political appointees must be gone by Inauguration Day. Also had new details about Justin Trudeau's secret vacation in the Bahamas, what his office is saying about the holiday travels, and the jobs report card for 2016, the fastest growth we've seen since 2012. Are we finally seeing a turnaround? But first, Canada will soon be without an American ambassador, at least temporarily.
So the process is in some ways pretty straightforward. The president was deeply appreciative of George W. Bush, who actually had all of his political appointees submit resignations before Barack Obama took office. So President Obama has done the same. He's gone through all of his political appointees, nearly 4,000 across the U.S. government, which includes political ambassadors, asking them to submit letters of resignation dated no later than January 20th of 2017.
That was U.S. Ambassador Bruce Hayman speaking to CTV's Question Period and host Evan Solomon last month, saying he was asked to resign by President Obama. Today, he made that resignation, as we mentioned, official on Twitter. And joining us now with more is former Canadian diplomat Colin Robertson. Colin, always great to have you on. A lot of people, many people, may be surprised to hear that the ask was from Barack Obama. Is this unusual?
No, this is convention. Every president, about a third of their appointees to the top level ambassadorial jobs are political appointees. They serve with the president. At the end of the president's term, they normally leave. And Ambassador Hayman said, Barack Obama as president was following the convention laid by George W. Bush and previous presidents. So on January 20th, the political appointees leave their office. And what we know thus far is that there will be no exceptions. There have been some exceptions in the past.
And I want to talk about that because, you know, that's the part that some people have been saying is the unusual part in all of this. You know, the New York Times reporting yesterday, listing the case of the U.S. ambassador to Costa Rica, whose wife is battling cancer. He's got several children who are now in the middle of a school year. They have to basically, you know, uproot and uproot quickly. And the incoming president-elect Donald Trump has said there will be no extensions. That's a blanket ban. That seems to be the unusual part of the story.
Well, keep in mind that the President Obama asked on November the 5th, the day after the election, he basically told all the ambassadors, if you're a political appointee, you're going to be, we want your resignation. And as of January 20th, unless you're asked by the next administration, your writ is over. So in a sense, they've had 3 months.
So they've had some advance warning. So you don't think this measure by Trump is a surprise for these?
No, and I think it is a new administration. And it is a change in party, and so it's not a surprise that the new president wants to put his people in place. Now all of the new people will have to have approval from the Senate. They'll have to go through the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee and then approval from the full Senate, the consent of the Senate, before they will take their place. So we're likely to be without an ambassador in Canada from January 20th to probably summer, sometime in the fall, depending how quickly. Because remember, first priority is going to go to the cabinet appointees that the president-elect has nominated. And those hearings are going to start in the next week or so.
Ambassador Hayman has been here since April 2014, has been fairly popular. He's made a lot of inroads within the diplomatic community and people at large here in Ottawa. When we think of possible replacements for him, what names come to mind?
Sure. No, I think you're quite right. First of all, Ambassador Hayman, he and Vicky have done, I think, a tremendous job, particularly on the arts side of things, and then getting across all of Canada. Now, the kind of people who would replace him, if you look at the previous incumbents in the office, the political appointees, they tend to be either political, former governors, former speaker, and David Wilkins, say former governor Paul Cellucci and Jim Blanchard, or business people, as was David Jacobson and Bruce Hayman. The kind of people that the president-elect Trump might be looking at would be people like New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, New York Mayor Giuliani, perhaps Governor Sarah Palin, Senator Kelly Ayotte. That would be on the political side. And there's probably people on the business side that he would be considering as well. So these are the kinds of names that he'll be looking at to nominate as their ambassador. And from a Canadian perspective, we want somebody who can pick up the telephone and get through the White House fairly quickly. The Canadian system is quite different. We tend to have mostly career diplomats, with a few exceptions, David McNaughton, for example, in the United States. But what we want in Canada is somebody who can pick up that phone and get through to the White House.
And in the interim, I mean, it's certainly not unprecedented not to have a U.S. ambassador in Canada. We have had that happen before. But in terms of getting that conversation going with the incoming administration, how does that happen without an envoy in this country?
Well, we have Ambassador McNaughton, David McNaughton in Washington, who is there and working with the transition team already. He will be, in a sense, the quarterback for the Canadian game in Washington. And then there will be the relationships that will develop fairly quickly between the cabinet appointees of President Obama and our cabinet. And as we know, President Trump and Prime Minister Justin Trudeau have already had a conversation. And I think we can expect sometime after the inauguration, either President Trump, by then President Trump, coming to Canada, or Prime Minister Trudeau going down to Washington, probably after a number of the Trump cabinet has received the assent of Senate, so that the cabinet relationships can begin to gel.
Who makes the first move? That's the that's the question.
That we haven't made the first move. Prime Minister Trudeau has invited President-elect Trump in their first conversation to come to Canada, and this will go into the hopper, and then we'll work it through. I don't think we'll wait too long. In the case of when President George W. Bush came to office, for example, Prime Minister Jean Chrétien went down with a number of his cabinet. And actually, interesting enough, when you talk about the exceptions, Gordon Giffen, who was Bill Clinton's second appointee, took them down because he was still in place. He'd been asked to stay on by the George W. Bush administration. And so there was that introduction of Prime Minister Chrétien to George W. Bush with a number of the cabinet officers.
We will certainly be watching this closely as it unfolds. Colin Robertson, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Omar.
Appreciate it. For 2 hours today, Donald Trump met with top U.S. intelligence officials who briefed the president-elect on Russia's role in the 2016 election. The meeting comes just a day after former CIA Director James Woolsey announced he would no longer serve as an advisor to Trump. Joining us now is CTV's Richard Madden from Washington. And Richard, I understand you've got a copy of the declassified version of the report. Walk us through it. What does it say?
Yeah, it came out moments ago, Omar. It is stunning and unprecedented that the American public would see the intelligence community's findings and their reasonings behind the accusations that the Russians interfered in the last presidential election. I'm just going to read you a few lines here. Remember, this is the declassified report, so parts of it are redacted, but Donald Trump received the full report. Nevertheless, the intelligence community says that the information is accurate and the mandate is clear. They say, we assess Russian President Vladimir Putin ordered an influence campaign in 2016 aimed at the U.S. election. And the goal, they say, is to undermine public faith in the U.S. democratic process and to denigrate Secretary Clinton and harm her electability and potential presidency. The CIA and FBI have high confidence in this judgment. The NSA has moderate confidence. So ultimately, the three key spy agencies overwhelmingly agree on this assessment, and the fact that they identified Vladimir Putin is shocking. They also go on to say they have high confidence that Russian military intelligence used several hacking groups named Guccifer and DC Leaks to release U.S. victim data, and then therefore they would send that information to WikiLeaks, the site owned by Julian Assange, who continually leaked hacked emails by the Democrats. And you'll remember Assange had claimed the Russians did not provide him this information, but U.S. intelligence begs otherwise, and that is another bombshell. Why did they do it? Well, according to this intelligence report, it was payback by Russian President Vladimir Putin. He was upset by the release of the Panama Papers and the Olympic doping scandal as U.S.-directed efforts to defame Russia. They go on to say that Putin most likely wanted to discredit Secretary Clinton because he publicly blamed her since 2011 for inciting mass protests against his regime in 2011. They go on to say that Moscow also saw the election of President-elect Donald Trump as a way to achieve an international counterterrorism coalition against ISIS. So, a lot to digest, a lot to chew on here, but ultimately It is stunning.
And very strong language, as you mentioned, not something that we often see this type of language from intelligence officials. So what was Trump's reaction today, Richard?
Well, Trump's reaction was fairly cryptic. He wrote in a statement today that he had a constructive meeting with leaders of the intelligence community this afternoon. You'll remember, Trump has been very skeptical about the abilities of the CIA and the FBI, perhaps even undermining their ability, yet seeming to back Julian Assange. Trump wouldn't say whether he agreed with them or disagreed with them, only that he enjoyed meeting with them, and he said that despite their conclusions, they did not sway the outcome of the election. Ultimately, Trump said he wants to put a team in place within 90 days to figure out a way to stop cyber attacks, but he stopped short of endorsing them. So once again, we have this unbelievable showdown between the incoming president and the intelligence agencies that are supposed to work for him.
And that brings me to my next question. This showdown, this fractious relationship between Trump and the spy agencies and the intelligence officials in the U.S., he has to work with these people, Richard, when he gets in about 2 weeks from now, exactly 2 weeks from now. You know, briefly, just got about a minute left. What will that relationship look like, you think, moving forward?
Well, it'll be a stormy one. It's unusual, highly unusual, for an incoming president to undermine the spy agencies. Not only does it leave the intelligence community perplexed and worried, we're also seeing stories that Trump plans to overhaul spy agencies, including the CIA, accusing them of being politicized and overstaffed. You'll remember America stepped up their security apparatus in the wake of 9/11. The Department of Homeland Security was established under George W. Bush, and security has been a top priority for all presidents. And Donald Trump says himself that security will be his number one priority. But when he publicly says the things he does and tweets what he does, it has a lot of people just perplexed that the incoming president is sending mixed messages. Very unusual times for a very unusual presidency that's about to begin.
And we saw something on Twitter today, Donald Trump taking on Arnold Schwarzenegger and his role on Celebrity Apprentice, and also taking on a top TV network in the U.S. as well. CTV's Richard Madden in Washington. Always appreciate the analysis, Richard. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, pal.
As we mentioned, Donald Trump's inauguration is exactly 2 weeks from today, and much of the talk here has been about what the protectionist president-elect will mean for Canada. New numbers today reveal Canada sold more products abroad than it purchased for the first time.